Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're diving into the low points per target score from the wide receiver position in 2021. Some guys that I think could bounce back, but this actually might signal some decline for some of them. So again, I think it's more complicated than I had previously written about, thought about in my dynasty writing and analysis. So Kenny Galladay is like the worst. I think this is naturally going to come back a little bit. It was never fully healthy. 14 games, it was a disaster basically all across the entire coaching staff, the coaching fit, the quarterback play, the injuries. Like, I think second only maybe to Jacksonville in terms of how bad this thing went off the rails. Probably not a great fit. Probably overpaid. A lot of stuff about Galladay I think is instructive. You know, I'm pretty high on a guy like DJ Shark this year relative to his cost. And I still have a little bit of pause about, like, hey, is the fact that he walked out of the building without them doing anything meaningful to stop, how good of a sign is that, right? And it's like, all right, they just let DJ Shark walk out of Jacksonville. He ends up in Detroit. I know there's injury stuff, but that should be kind of a negative sign. Galladay had the same thing happen to him. So 21 red zone targets, but managed no touchdowns last season. Like, that's pretty rough. And a lot of that stuff you'll see in this, some of that touchdown work really didn't, it either wasn't there, it didn't come to fruition. So he's one that I think he could bounce back, but he's almost, Kenny Galladay is very much of a feel of a tree that falls in the woods. Does it make a noise? And if no one's really around, who cares type of deal? And how much does it really change anything is really, I think, the big question there for Kenny Galladay. So that's kind of my pause on him of like, oh, this is a regression bounce back. Like, how much does it really, really matter? That's one of the things for him. A guy I could really see making a massive bounce back is Allen Robinson. Produced 1.29 points per target in 2021. That was similar to actually 1.3 points per target on 151 targets in 2016. He's had poor quarterback play, bad offenses, bad variants throughout his NFL career. And it's amazing, really, he's gotten to the point that he has, and considering the quarterback play he's had. He only managed 66 targets in 12 games. I think a lot of that just looked like a situation that went sour. Like, if we're being frank about it, like, he just didn't, you know, he had 16 red zone targets, right? Like, he just, it's not, and honestly, people are saying, hey, you know, Fields doesn't have a great supporting cast. Like, Robinson was basically written out of the script last year, or played his way out of the script last year. I'm not sure. So I do think he's bound for some bounce back. Really positive numbers last year. I'm sorry, negative numbers last year, but positive reports of this year in training camp as well. So I could expect a big bounce back. And remember, this number is about 1.8 or so. So he's basically a half a point per target underneath that number. You know, and you just think about, like, all right, that's 30 more points. Just kind of things coming back to normal there. So with the benefit of some a little bit less less bad luck, if you will. I think everything about his 2022 season is better than his 2021 season, including his quarterback, Matthew Stafford, his offensive coach, Sean McVay, and frankly, his team. So I think this is really a situation where Robinson could be a lot better. And it wouldn't shock me if, like, him and Kupp got 300 targets. Wouldn't shock me at all. Robbie Anderson had 110 targets last year. Not many people would talk about that, but managed less than a 50% catch rate. DJ Moore is actually better on a per target basis at 0.2 of a point better, at 1.52 compared to 1.32 for Robbie Anderson, despite Moore only scoring 4 touchdowns compared to Anderson's 5. Anderson really needs a good year this year to bounce back. Just career trajectory wise, not even dynasty really, just to kind of stay in the league. Like, that's the type of performance that can kind of play you out of a meaningful role in the NFL. Gonna have a better quarterback as of this recording. Baker Mayfield's been announced as a starter for the Jags. So, you know, we'll watch there and see going forward, but this is a spot that they don't have a good tight end, right? Like, there's questions at wide receiver three. We'll see how McCaffrey holds up. But, like, again, this is a situation where 110, 120 targets wouldn't be terribly surprising for Robbie Anderson if he could bounce back and get his act together. Laviska Shenault's one of the all-time bad touchdown variance guys. Only five wide receivers since 1970 have 60 receptions and zero touchdowns. Shenault managed 99 targets, but only three targets in the end zone. The problem was not Shenault's alone, as it was actually Lawrence, who had a 2.0% touchdown rate. Again, we see other guys, Marvin Jones as well, struggled in sort of his touchdown scoring rate wise anyways. Shenault's one that I think is maybe a little bit, and he came in and I think people were more positive on him fantasy wise, especially going into last year. Seems to have really fallen off. Like, if you still believe in him as a fantasy player, and he does offer something different than Christian Kirk, different than Zay Jones, different than Marvin Jones too, right? He sort of offers some of that weaponry type skill set that those guys really aren't. If you still believe in him, like, there's reasons to think this year's going to be better. I think if you just look at last year in Jacksonville, like, it's tough to be worse from a crummy situation quarterback wise or coach wise, right? That trickling down to some pretty crummy quarterback play as a rookie, so you can't really blame them. But then bad luck, right? Like, it was just, if they didn't have bad luck, they would have had no luck last year. And so that as a, again, that's a situation where you could see Shenault. But again, if Shenault goes from, if he pops off for a wide receiver 46 finish, who cares? Right, like, that, how much does that really move the needle? That would really be the question that I would have. So I think he's one that's maybe bound for some bounce back, but he would, I think, really need to be kind of prove himself in a really good situation, in a high percentage of his dropbacks, of his team's dropbacks, he's running routes, for me to really be moving my opinion on Shenault. Devontae Parker and Jacoby Myers both make this list. And Myers is a good example of a guy that one of the reasons why I've changed my mind on this stat. So in his first 2 years, so he has 1.51 points per target. Devontae Parker has 1.42. So I'm going to group these guys together because they're both now New England Patriots. In his first two seasons in the NFL, Jacoby Myers had 122 targets, over 1,000 yards receiving, and no touchdowns. You heard that right. 122 targets, over 1,000 yards receiving, and no touchdowns. He more than doubled his targets in 2022 with 126 and scored his first two receiving touchdowns of his career. It's well below the touchdown rate that you would expect. But when you look, there's a really stark reason why. 4.7% of his targets came in the red zone in 2019, 12.5% came in 2020, 18.6% in 2021. His career best ranked 33rd highest share of any player in the league in terms of the percentage of his team's red zone targets that he had. Hunter Henry actually ranked 10th in the league at 24.3. So when you look at this, like, Jacoby Myers, probably a pretty good player, but he very much fits the role of a guy who's, it's funny that he's on the same team as Damian Harris, right? Because that was a lot of the criticism for him. Again, he gets goal line, so that's different. The Ronald Jones sort of between the 20s type, not particularly useful fantasy role. Right, like, that's kind of the Jacoby Myers Jacoby Myers is the receiver version of that, if you will. So he's one that just, and you wouldn't expect it based on size wise. It's not like he's 5'6" and it's just a burner, right? Like, it's he doesn't have a profile that would that would lead you to think that he couldn't garner some good receiving work in the red zone. So maybe he can grow there. He's shown growth the past 2 years. Maybe that's a spot where he gets a little bit better luck, a little bit more passing volume for this offense. But I have some doubts about this offense taking a big step forward in terms of passing game volume or passing game efficiency for that matter. So both Devontae Parker and Myers are on the list, but I don't think either one of them has like that big season in the range of outcomes. I think if I were to sort of sum up this list, I think the two guys that I could see really having kind of a big season, a quote big season, I could see Allen Robinson being a top 20 guy. That wouldn't shock me. I could see Robbie Anderson being a top 40 guy too. Like I could see, you could pitch me that where he's better. Maybe he gets a little bit better luck. He's a number two in an offense that actually has some stuff going on, right? If Baker plays well, if you get like pissed off, focused Baker, Robbie Anderson could be a guy that benefits. And I just like, you're not throwing the ball to Ian Thomas, right? Or you're just kind of banging your head against a wall. And there's some other injuries on that team as well. I wonder if he's not the one that could step forward on this. Again, maybe if you're playing a situation like you're playing one of these season-long contests, like the Football Guys contest, I think Robbie Anderson would be a good pick. Just because I think like he could see a lot of targets and see some bounce back and he's probably worth next to nothing. I haven't filled out my thing yet, but I'm sure he's probably cheap. So those are the types of situations that I might think about using a guy like Robbie Anderson. But I think Allen Robinson's probably the big one. Again, how much do guys like Chenault move the needle, Parker move the needle? Like I actually think Jacoby Myers is a pretty good receiver, but it's just a little bit limited, right? He'd be if he was in almost any other offense, like it would be substantially better. I'm just kind of down on their structure right now, given the fact that Matt Patricia appears to be calling the plays. So kind of down on that. But that's going to pretty much do it for this podcast here. I hope some of this stuff is helping you maybe think about some stuff. Again, this is something I think about in season two. As we see some buy low guys or sell high guys, we're looking at, what's their points per target? Like are they sort of an unreasonably high number, unreasonably low number? Sort of where are they at? I think there's lots of stuff that we can take from this. And this is a reminder that, hey, it's August. We're thinking about some of these guys, but also to sort of keep that, that variance in mind as you go forward. So that'll do it for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.